I'll come right in.
Rock, flag, and eagle.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Chair Gatin', your Belly Up Sports podcast. I am Rattlesnake, and I'm here once again with the absolute most recurring guest. It's almost just become like our podcast.
Yeah.
Because last week I didn't even do an episode. It's Eric Estep from Out of the Groove, and he's wearing an Out of the Groove hat.
I am.
Which... So people should start DMing him and being like, give me a hat, because he only has one.
Yeah.
So it'd be really funny if you forced him to... send you his only hat.
Hey, if people are willing to pay, I will I will make more hats.
He'll autograph it, too. Oh. I'm saying that right now. He's never said that.
Yeah, I like that I wore a hat to an audio podcast. Like, yep. I thought that would make a difference.
And his new cool shirt.
I do have a fun shirt on, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys, if you're going to be at Bristol in August, you'll see it in person.
Here, let me just explain in detail over this audio podcast how he looks.
It's very yellow. Well, I mean, it's a Matt Kenseth shirt.
Got some blue. Surprise. So it's very some yellow. Black.
Yeah,
nice retro throwback.
Mm-hmm. It's actually it's his rookie. It's a shirt from his rookie year, which I was happy. I found this on eBay.
That's so why it threw me off.
I wonder if the person who sold it to me is listening to this right now. But
I had no idea what he had his hands on. How much did you buy for? I gotta know.
It was like $20.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
No, not bad.
Okay, that's the podcast. I just wanted to talk about his outfit, and that's it. So the first thing I want to talk about, and a couple of these things were going to be laid on, because like I said, I didn't do an episode last week. The person I was going to do the episode with kind of fell through, and I started recording the episode, and it just sounded really stupid. And I was like, delete. Sorry, guys. You're not getting an episode this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So some of this stuff is going to be like, you know, kind of playing catch up, especially with Eric, because he's discussed most of this on his Out of the Groove YouTube channel, which all of you are subscribed to, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Kyle Busch's comments after Dover.
Yeah.
Okay. What did he say specifically? This package sucks? Or shit or something?
No, he went into a little bit more after that, yeah. But he basically led it off by just saying, in so many words. Actually, this was exactly what I said. This package sucks. And he went on and said, like, it's obvious, everybody knows it. And that was basically his quote.
Did he have any other, like, complaints in there? Was it like, didn't he say something about it's hard to pass, or was that other people saying that?
I know more other drivers went a little more in depth,
right?
I know Kevin Harvick did. He explained, you know, because Dover, it was an okay race, it wasn't anything remarkable.
Stages
Dover's,
1 and 2 were really fun.
Yeah, they were fun. Stage 3 was kind of
yep.
sleepy,
yep.
But you know, Dover's a track, it's always hard to pass because it's so fast. The corner speeds have always mm-hmm. been so high, and with this package it only accentuates that even more with the downforce and everything, and they still had 750 horsepower in this race, so that was a fast Dover race by Dover standards. So, like, I mean, there's a few other drivers to talk about, but Kyle Busch himself, he went in a little bit more detail, but his first reaction, the one that's made headlines, the ones that was most talked about, and the one that he said right when he got out of the car was just, this package sucks. And I don't know, I'd be curious to hear your opinion on it. I know everyone said, you know, just Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch. And that is part of the reason some people like him, that's part of the reason some people hate him, and I get that. My biggest issue with it was I just don't think that kind of reaction is beneficial to the sport today as much as it might have been 10 or 15 years ago, like when Tony Stewart was famous for being very blunt. Like, I feel like back then NASCAR, there was room for error. If NASCAR messed up and a driver called him out on it, people would just be like, yeah, screw you, NASCAR. The problem is now, I feel like, and I'd be curious your opinion, I feel like NASCAR is in a more precarious situation. And Brad Keselowski actually mentioned this on Twitter as well. He mentioned how he believes NASCAR today is kind of fragile. Like, just the world around NASCAR, NASCAR itself is fragile, and that drivers need to be aware of that when they go make blunt comments like this. And that's my biggest issue is I don't mind people criticizing the package, criticizing NASCAR by all means. I'm not, like, going to quash your free speech, but I do prefer that people be a little more thoughtful about it and not just say things that will feed the trolls. And that's what I feel like Kyle Busch is doing there by saying just this package sucks and not immediately offering any sort of explanation as to what he means by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with pretty much everything you just said. I think you're right that NASCAR is not what it used to be, and sponsors don't need to be there. And that's a big mm-hmm. issue when you're talking shit about the sport, because it turns away sponsors, it turns away maybe some everyday fans, not like hardcore fans.
Yeah.
You said he said this right when he got out of his car.
It was, I mean, they didn't have it. It wasn't like, not all these quotes was televised, it was tweeted
right.
moments after the
race. I saw the tweet, right, okay. So, I guess both camps are a little right here in the sense that it is Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch, and I wonder if he was just pissed off.
Oh, he's mad because it was probably his worst race probably of the season.
Right.
Yeah. At least, he still finished 10th, but
I was going to say at least tied, because what's the other race he finished?
He has 10th. A couple 10th place, but this one he like ran 15th in a lot
of right,
race.
Right, right, right. So there was one other race this season he had 10th also. Yeah. Either way, not a good race for him, and he's the type of guy that, you know, wants to win always, which is great about Kyle Busch. I mean, that's why he always wins.
Yeah.
Right? He has probably the best and worst mentality about winning and losing in NASCAR. It's like best if you own his car,
yeah,
because you know he's gonna want to win,
yeah,
and hates losing, but he becomes a sore loser. So I think this is like a little bit of that we're used to from Kyle Busch being a sore loser and lashing out. And maybe he did look back and say, I probably could have, you know, put that in a better way,
yeah,
but it's Kyle Busch and he'll never admit that.
I think the Kyle Busch fans, a lot of them eat that up.
Yeah, they really like that. That's the thing. So even if him personally goes back and was like, calms down, he's like, okay, I could have explained why I think it sucks. You know, I'm sure he truly believes that. But, you know, maybe when he left and calmed down, he's like, okay, I could have explained that better, kind of like Kevin Harvick did. But he'll never admit it. His fans love it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. You said he wasn't penalized, right?
No, he didn't get fined, which I was surprised
by. Yeah, and that's a really interesting thing because, you know, maybe he should have. I hate like saying that like a driver should be fined for speaking their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should have in this situation, but I think that definitely just shows that we're living in a totally different NASCAR, and it's not like we're living in the heydays. But I think it's better than what it was. It's just like this like twilight zone where we're not sure where we're going from here. And so NASCAR is willing to let people speak more freely. They want to hear more fans talking about things.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why he wasn't fined, is they don't want to try to like scare that away. They want the free speech.
Yeah, they don't want to be seen as like they're quashing any sort of criticism. Because I know Kevin Harvick said earlier this week that he feels like ever since 2001 when Dale Sr. died, and this is his words, he said he doesn't feel like there's been a very good... he doesn't think NASCAR has taken drivers' comments into consideration so much. Now, he's saying since 2001. Now, there's a couple of interesting things about this comment. One, Kevin Harvick wasn't in the Cup Series until 2001, so I don't know how much he would have known before 2001, but I don't know. But
he could have been keeping up with it. He
was around. He was in the Xfinity Series and trucks. And
right.
Stuff. But you know, another important thing there is since 2003, it's been Brian France and that whole regime, and we've seen, you know, with they've made more changes in the last 15, 20 years than any other decade in NASCAR history. And I think some drivers resent that, obviously. But I think now with Brian France out of the equation, it's Jim France now, and even he kind of has taken a hands-off role. It's a lot of other people that are making the decisions, I think. I haven't heard Kevin Harvick. He didn't say that, oh, it's better now. But I've heard other drivers say it's better now. There's a little bit more communication now. But that being said, I do think that was kind of interesting that it's different today. I do think NASCAR is trying to listen more, not just to the drivers, but also to the fans and stuff. But I don't necessarily, I don't know, I don't really know what else to say there.
Well, I think also NASCAR, with new leadership, has become self-aware,
yeah,
right? They're like, we are not what we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, over they've the past, like, 10 years, they've thought that. They're like, no, we're still, you know, NASCAR. We're, you know, up there with the MLB and the NFL. And it's like, no. You are not. You are down with the NHL now. Like, you have fallen so far, and some of it isn't your fault. You know, you've lost these icons that kind of built themselves up. You know, you lost Dale Earnhardt. Dale Jr.'s retired. Jeff Gordon's retired.
Yeah, some of it was unavoidable. Stewart.
Right. But you just have to be self-aware and know what's going on. I think the NASCAR today is a lot more self-aware. It's saying, we know we're not what we used to be, and, you know, we want to try to just please the fans. And if the fans like Kyle Busch saying this package sucks, we'll let him say it. I mean, that's... And who was the... Was it the Levine Family Racing team owner?
Yeah. He also on Twitter said... He basically said, I second this. In response to Kyle Busch's quote.
Yeah, he was going off on Twitter, actually. I was reading some of the stuff. It was kind of funny.
And they didn't find him either.
No.
So, which,
no.
That I agree with. Because I agree with what you're saying. I don't know that I wanted Kyle Busch to be fined, but given the way they fine drivers, even in just last several years for comments, I fully expected him to be fined.
Oh yeah.
And I wasn't gonna be like upset about it if they did, because there's that clause in the contract or whatever that says, you know, you can be penalized for actions detrimental to stock car racing. It's a really loose phrase. A lot of people don't like it. I don't like it. But if it's for things like this, what he said there, I think, was detrimental to stock car racing. It makes stock car racing, NASCAR in this case, look worse from the outside when you have one of its top stars criticizing it so bluntly and so just.
I mean, I don't keep seriously. Up with F1, but do they have any drivers saying that?
I don't. F1? They might. The thing is, it's like you compare it to the NBA, where every week a player or a coach gets fined for criticizing the officials. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like most NBA fans think about it, you know, oh man, the officials suck. I mean, I've never met an NBA fan who actually says, oh yeah, officiating in the NBA is pretty good. Right. Everybody in the NBA fan hates the officials.
Just go on Twitter during any game.
But when a player criticizes an official and gets fined, you never hear blowback from NBA fans saying, you shouldn't have fined him. Your officials do suck. Versus NASCAR, if they had fined Kyle Busch, the blowback. How dare you fine him? Your product sucks. It's your fault that it's even like this. You know.
I will say this.
It's interesting how it's different.
I think NASCAR fan bases are a different breed.
Definitely.
Lifestyle. Compared to other sports, and I know I would compare it actually mostly to like baseball. Like baseball fans, like a diehard baseball guy knows everything about baseball. Everything in his apartment will be baseball. He'll only wear baseball stuff. Yeah. Like he won't even have a favorite team. He's like a statistical guy that loves and obsesses baseball. Yeah. And I know football guys, you know, quote unquote football guys. Like it's not truly like your life. Like. NASCAR is. Like, NASCAR, these fans live and breathe NASCAR.
Yeah.
And that's why I compare it more to, like, a baseball fan, where they're just fanatics.
I think that is a good point. I feel like there are more hardcore race fans, hardcore baseball fans, than there are hardcore NBA fans. I feel like NBA fans are pretty fickle.
Yeah, you know? NBA's, though, like, worse when it comes to hardcore. They're just like, yeah, I watch basketball.
Honestly, that probably explains it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find those types of fans more in, like, college basketball or college football, I feel like. Maybe, but when it comes to pro in those two sports, even, like, Cowboys fans, which are supposed to be, like, some of the most diehard, I don't even put them near a NASCAR fan. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll meet Cowboys fans, and they'll be wearing Cowboys gear and stuff, but, like, NASCAR fans are insane. You have to understand, like, they live and breathe NASCAR, and they I think they also reward themselves knowing that NASCAR, they're, like, part of NASCAR, whereas the NFL, I'm not going to be able to get a pass to go shake the hands of the players before the game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to hang out with the players before the, like, NASCAR is, like, you know, you're part of NASCAR.
Yeah, NASCAR, when I went to Texas a few weeks ago, I went to the Torchy's Tacos restaurant they had on the infield,
right.
And I turn around, and who's in line behind me? Ryan Blaney. And I asked him what he recommended on the menu.
Just in line?
Yeah, and I'm like, what other sport can you do
this? Ryan Blaney, you're from Texas. You should be telling him.
Let me tell you, I already knew what I was getting, right, but I wanted to see what Ryan Blaney
You should have turned around and been like, look, dude.
Ultimately, he picked the same thing I was going to pick. Nice. So I was like, all right, Ryan Blaney.
Wait, what did you pick? Now I need to know.
What was it called? What do they have at Torchy's?
The Democrat's a good one.
The trailer park.
The trailer park.
Yeah.
Did you get it trashy?
Oh, yes.
They smother it in queso?
Ryan Blaney was like, got to get that queso. And I said, nice. You bet, Blaney.
Good for you, Blaney. Everything I hear about Blaney, I like him more and more. Like, I don't like Fords. I'm not a Ford guy.
Uh-huh.
But, man, Blaney is, like, really making me question that. I'm, like, going to go buy a Ford hat now.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Blaney. I love that man. So I think just NASCAR fans are just a different kind of breed, and so you're right. NASCAR fans would explode if Kyle Busch was fined for that.
I think NASCAR fans just in general have more of a dedication or more of a connection to the drivers than NASCAR itself. Like, for me, that's been a weird change for me, because I grew up for years and years, I was a hardcore Matt Kenseth fan. I was a Matt Kenseth fan before I was a NASCAR fan. I didn't care if there's nobody in the stands. If Matt Kenseth won that race, I was happy, you know? Whereas now, I root for a few different guys. I like. Yep. I'm more of a NASCAR fan before 100%. I am a fan of another driver. So even if, say, Eric Jones, who's probably the guy I root for the most now, wins a race, if, like, you know, there's nobody in the stands, if the TV ratings sucked, I don't feel that good after that race. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. And
I mean, I'm an Austin Dillon fan, mm-hmm. right? So you know, if I'm an Austin Dillon fan, I have to care more about NASCAR than I do the driver, because I would just never watch anymore.
What I'm saying is, I think more fans are like I was, or like you. To an extent, maybe are with Austin Dillon. I don't know. But I think more fans do care about a driver before they care about NASCAR.
I feel the opposite. I feel more care about the sport, especially nowadays, because the older generation lost their drivers.
It's probably more so now.
And, right. But there's definitely that diehard fan base for certain drivers, like Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson definitely still has his. Kyle Larson's got a little bit still left there. Mm-hmm. God bless them. You know, Chase Elliott's building his up. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think it is today. It's less than it probably was 10 or 15 years ago. But I still think you'll find most people are more passionate, more loyal to a driver. Well,
and that always blows my mind too. When especially like Gluck's, you know, when he's asking if people enjoyed the race, and so many people will be commenting like, "No, because Truex won." Yeah. No, and I'm like, "Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy." I Kevin Harvick's my least favorite driver. Mm-hmm. Right, I don't like him. I'm not a fan of Stenhouse. Right,
yeah.
Those are pretty much the only two guys that I just don't really like.
Yeah.
And even if they win, if it's a good race, I'm like, I don't care. That was a great race.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Harvick win one, but I'll admit when it's a great race.
We have the ability to step back and objectively say whether something was good.
And
or bad.
I think it helps that I'm an Austin Dillon fan.
And
he's never in contention.
So you have a little bit. You're used to watching other people.
Exactly. If I was like a Harvick fan and hated Busch, maybe this year would be tougher to enjoy.
Yeah.
But I'm a NASCAR fan first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And there's certain drivers that I definitely cheer for. Austin Dillon, number one. But like I said, I really like Ryan Blaney.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more of a Chevy guy, so I do like to see Chase Elliott when he's winning.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool to see Kyle Larson come back. But my new one of the new guy that's on my top five, and I think I told you this before, is Kurt Busch. Oh, I was never a Kurt Busch fan before. You know, he's always been like an asshole to the media.
Yeah.
And I didn't care back then, but I was like, it's not my type. Yeah, you know? Yeah. But this year, man, I've just... I love Kurt Busch. I want to see him win. I want to see him in the playoffs, contending. Like, I don't know why. I've just become a big... Now that he's joined Chevy, I think. That's the only reason.
Maybe.
I'm like, finally, we have a like consistent Chevy driver.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been the lovable underdog this year, which I never thought we'd say about Kurt Busch.
I know.
That's not true. I guess in like 2012, he was an underdog. I don't know if he was lovable back then, but he was an underdog. Or maybe it was 2011. Whatever year he drove for Phoenix Racing or whatever that team was, it was like a 51.
Oh, yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also, you know, the sentiment with anti-media nowadays.
Maybe.
Which is definitely a thing. And like, there's an anti-media wave throughout people where they just nowadays they're not really trusting media as much. Or there are certain people that, you know, only trust media. But there is definitely this like anti-media wave now where I think when Kyle Busch or Kurt Busch, now that he's doing his old thing that he used to, you know, just annoyed with the media.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are actually liking it. They're like, and what validates him being rude is when these reporters get on Twitter and start tweeting and they sound butthurt when they tweet about it. They're like, oh, Kurt Busch decided not to answer my questions. And people are like, shut up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I like a lot of these media guys, but when they sound butthurt on Twitter, like, Kurt Busch won. Like, the masses are going to support him.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also still, they are more loyal to the driver before they're loyal to NASCAR or the people who work for NASCAR, not the team.
Definitely. I will agree with that. Even if I can cheer for other drivers, if a driver is in a battle against NASCAR or the media or anyone involved in NASCAR, I'm almost always siding with the driver. I don't know why. It's like this instinct where I'm just like, unless it's like, you know, Kyle Busch.
There's
certain guys that always get in trouble with the media, so you know that, you know, this is... But, you know, I like when Brad Keselowski speaks out with the media, and I almost always agree with a lot of the things he says, even if I'm not like a Keselowski fan. I like what he has said, what he has to say. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's, and I guess speaking of drivers in the media... We can transition to what I wanted to talk about also, which is also from last week, was Jason Whitlock?
Yeah, Jason Whitlock. Fox Sports 1.
Yes.
What's his show called? Speak for Yourself?
Speak for Yourself. Yeah, super interesting to see that come on post-race.
Yeah.
I guess because it was a Monday.
It was a Monday,
I don't know. But he had a hot take, I guess.
It's hot for like an average sports reporter to like talk about.
For NASCAR, it's mild.
For NASCAR, I feel like we've ever, a lot of people have kind of given this some
It's not even mild. It's like you've peed on the campfire. It's out. Like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Essentially, if nobody else watched it or saw the videos or watched Eric's video on it.
I just briefly YouTube. Mentioned it, but yes, yeah.
But you had a lot of good things to say, which is why I wanted to bring it up. Mm. He essentially said that, you know, stated the case for why Bubba Wallace deserves more funding, which is a fine point. But like his biggest argument was like, well, he's clearly a good driver because he got second in his first race as a full-time Cup Series driver at the Daytona 500
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, that was the argument. That was the flaw in his argument. Like he was proposing, you know, that Bubba Wallace being the only black driver in the Cup Series, and with, you know, corporate America, we see it everywhere. Is very
and in the 43,
and he's also that. In the iconic 43. Yep. You know, corporate America is very interested in diversity. That's what they want to push, and you see that everywhere. And so, with, yep. you know, you look no further than Bubba Wallace, the one black guy right. in a historically more white sport. You'd think that they'd be all over
more
that.
White sport.
Yes,
exclusively is almost the word I want to use.
Yeah, you're getting there. Yeah, you'd think that you'd have a lot more sponsorship, a lot more big companies that would be willing to push Bubba Wallace, and I think he brings up a good point there. I am a little surprised, but you know he has backing from like Coca-Cola, who also backs Daniel Suarez. So that, you know, he yep. does have some of that. It's and he's been on like Kevin Hart's show recently.
Yeah.
So
it was a great yeah, episode.
He still definitely does get more media attention than he deserves running 28th. But there are some flaws in Whitlock's argument. Like you said, he points to the fact that, oh, he finished second at Daytona. That means he's good. That mm-hmm. not, you know, NASCAR fans know that Daytona is not always right. indicative of how good you're performing, but yeah, I mean, he makes some good points there. At the end of the day, I think the problem that Richard Petty Motorsports has, I don't think it's all Bubba, I think it's more Richard Petty Motorsports. And in racing, you need money to run well. And unfortunately for Richard Petty Motorsports, they need to start running well so they can get some of that money. Right. So it's a tough circle. You know, occasionally you might get lucky and a really wealthy company or person wants to drop a lot of money on you, and then you can kind of bypass that and just become good automatically. But that's really hard to do, and that's... maybe that's what Whitlock's pointing out. He thinks that there is a big company out there that could do that and could, like, the way Richard Petty Motorsports, back when they had major funding from Smithfield with Almirola, they sponsored almost every race, so they had full funding on that car, and they ran better than they run now. Yep. Still didn't run great, which is why Smithfield ultimately left, which makes it why I think it's more Richard Petty Motorsports' problem than anything else. But, you know, when you don't have a full season's worth of sponsorship like they have right now, like they're lacking right now, you're not going to run well. And if you're not running well, if you're not running in the top 10, top 15, it's hard to go to an outside sponsor and be like, hey, come sponsor us and give us millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. Number one, I want to point out that it's interesting because I don't want to compare him to Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
Because I hope that he's a better driver in stock car, yeah. at least. Mm-hmm. Because who doesn't like Bubba Wallace? You know, he's mm-hmm. just like a likable guy. Everybody wants to see him do well. Yeah. But it's interesting that Danica Patrick was like one of the highest paid, I think the highest or second highest paid
for
behind
a year
Junior,
or two,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Whitlock at least has a point here. He's misusing it because NASCAR fans know that getting second in Daytona 500 isn't impressive. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily a talented driver. Mm-hmm. But he should have used that point to say Danica Patrick never had a top 10 finish.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think she had one or two top 10s.
I don't think she even had a top 10.
She had it. No, she got a top 10 at Daytona, I know, once. But
okay,
I don't know
about so she
else.
Has like one top 10?
She has.
Out of how many years?
I could count them on one hand.
Out of how many years did she race? And you could be like, Bubba's got a top 5 already.
Theoretically, yes.
You know,
well, I mean,
so
not theoretically, but
that's,
yes.
That's the point. That's how you could use that point. Not mm-hmm. saying like, oh, it necessarily shows how great he is, but like when we're comparing, you know, this female driver that got a lot of notoriety, like why is Bubba not like mm-hmm. as the like first African-American full-time driver, yada yada
I think
yada.
It helps. I mean, you can compare the two. I think it helps in Danica's case that she already had a built-in fan base. She'd won an IndyCar race.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think it was more of an exhibition race.
Well, didn't she
race.
Only win one race?
She won one race, and I don't think it was like a full series race.
I mean, Bubba
race.
Has Bubba won an Xfinity race? Because I
actually don't know. I don't think he has. He has a couple truck wins, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I know he has at least one, but... Or actually, I can think of two truck wins he has, but I think that's the problem. She had that built-in fan base. But even with Danica, as big a name as she was coming in, she only raced in the Cup Series for 5 years. And then even she ran out of money.
Really?
Yeah.
She was in the Cup Series only for 5 years?
2013. I mean, she made a couple starts in 2012, but I think
but
it was...
But full-time,
13 to 17. And after 17, she was out of money.
That's interesting. I thought it was more than that. I guess I was wrong. I will say, though, at the end of the day, I think no matter how much money that team gets, they'll never do well, and this sucks to say, but I think because of not just the team, but Richard Petty himself.
Yeah.
He does not seem to do well running this team. Maybe he needs to step down and let somebody else take over.
He's old-fashioned. The whole thing with Smithfield Foods, when they left a couple years ago, he's like, we had a handshake deal. It's like, it's 2018,
I don't know if I want to drop all that money. I would want to drop it on the 43 and Bubba and say, let's see what we can do with this guy. But I would be a little skeptical with Richard Petty.
He's just he's very old-fashioned, it sounds like. And I feel like that steered them the wrong direction a couple times.
And it also just seems like, I don't know. Like you said, he had Smithfield backing him like for a whole season, right? Mm-hmm. Like every car.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you still can't put anything together? I don't know. I just, if I got a lot of money in a company and I'm willing to sponsor, I'd be like, I kind of want to go with somebody that I think will like use my money better.
Yes.
Like has proven that they know what to do with the money.
That's what concerns me. Like it's like, oh, well, Richard Petty Neurosports isn't running well this year. It's like, oh, well, that's just because they don't have good funding. Well, for a few years there, they did have good funding and they won one race at Daytona, and it was rain shortened in like 5 years.
And Almirola has proven to be a good driver.
And Almirola, the thing is, Smithfield then came with Almirola to a really good team and won a race in their first year. So,
and he's just proven to be really consistent, good quality driver. Mm-hmm. So clearly he knew what he was doing. It's not like they had a bad driver. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I like Whitlock just talking about NASCAR, though.
That was my big takeaway, too. Yeah. It's nice to see, like, a national. I don't know, Whitlock's, he's known. I don't want to say he's the most popular, but he's known.
It's nice
to see a mainstream sports show, even just for a couple minutes, and even if it wasn't fully accurate, give NASCAR, some discussion. I think
that's good. Talk about it. That's all I ask.
We got to have, they're not in the show together anymore. I was going to say, we got to have Stephen A. and Skip Bayless debate the Arrow package. That would be
who's
that would
the
be
guy with Skip now?
Now they got a Shannon
Skip.
Sharp.
Skip.
That would be
Skip.
Really funny, actually. Skip. Oh, that would be really funny. There'd be no substance to that argument, but it would be hilarious.
No, that would be terrible.
I just want
to. It'd be Skip trying to like use facts that are just wrong.
I just want to see somebody like they'd get up in the morning to do their live show, and someone just slips them their notes, and it's all NASCAR, and they're like, "Why are we doing a NASCAR show?" And just see their eyes go wide. We're live, everybody. They don't know what they wouldn't know what to do.
Skip's like, "It's a fact that Bubba Wallace has 3 wins already," and then he's just like, "Skip, I don't care about how many wins he had," and you're like, "No, that's wrong." That would be how that would play.
LeBron James could make Richard Petty Sports a title contender. That's basically where that argument would go.
I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know if I've stated this. Okay. All right. Moving on from that topic, we'll get into some more recent stuff. What were we going to talk about next?
I already forgot. We had a few other things we were going to discuss.
Yeah, what was it?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't edit, so everyone's listening to this.
Yeah, that's good. We can bounce around until we remember what we were going to talk about. Well, All-Star Race voting, I know that's out. Or you know how, like, for the All-Star Race, which I know is in a few weeks, they have, the open race for the drivers that haven't won or haven't qualified for the All-Star Race yet, but they do have a fan vote where you can vote one driver in. And so there's a lot of big names like William Byron, Alex Bowman, Larson, Suarez. They're going to be racing in the open race trying to get to the main show. But NASCAR today actually revealed their all-star fan vote top 10 currently. Voting still open. So go to, NASCAR.com, I guess, and vote for your favorite driver who isn't already in the all-star race to make it in. But NASCAR revealed the top 10 currently in votes.
Okay,
so
let's hear them.
All right, so number 10. So it's pretty far out there, but on this list still, Ross Chastain has the 10th most number of fan votes. Number 9, and now I'm a little surprised number 9 is ahead of Ross Chastain, to be quite honest with you, because Chastain's a fan and favorite. But number 9, Paul Menard.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like Paul Menard should be higher.
Maybe. Well, let's see who's ahead of him.
Okay,
here.
Yeah, let me hear.
Eighth highest currently in the fan vote is Ricky Stenhouse.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I would put him above Menard. I mean, he lost a lot of his fans, but he still has fans, I feel like. Uh-huh. So.
Now, keep in mind, there are a couple of Hendrick guys up here, so that definitely is... They'd be ahead of Paul Menard.
Yeah, okay.
Number 7, Ryan Preece.
What?
Interesting.
Get out of here, Preece.
Daniel Hemric is not in this top 10, the other big-name rookie
driver. I feel like Hemric should be and not Preece. I haven't heard anything about, like, Priest fans. I see, like, Hemric people now. I mean, they're not, like, diehard Hemric, but they talk. That is way...
It has something to do with... Priest comes from a similar background as Joey Logano. In fact, they grew up in the Northeast racing together.
Right. Yeah.
So there might be a shared fan base there. Some Logano fans or people who've been paying attention to Logano's
career. That could be.
Also remember Ryan Priest and like, oh, good to see Ryan Priest.
Yeah, another rookie from North Carolina is not really going to do much for him.
Yeah.
28-year-old rookie from North Carolina.
Well, speaking of drivers from places we wouldn't expect, at number 6, Daniel Suarez.
Ah,
I'm actually surprised he's so low. I thought he'd be a little higher up on this
list. That's a really good point. He should be like one or two.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think number one might be surprising. Not super surprising, but a little surprising. Number five, Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, that makes sense. Five is even a little low.
I feel like I'd put Bubba third or fourth on this list, yep. And Suarez would probably be.
Yeah, five's a little low, but I'm like, yeah, I could see it. I'm surprised. Yeah. Last year, before we go on, who won it last year?
The All-Star race?
No, the fan vote.
Oh, gosh. Was it Chase? I don't think Chase had won a race yet.
I think so it was Chase. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my wife voted for him. That's right.
It was Chase. I do remember it for real now. William Byron is at four. I think
that is insane.
Yeah, he's done nothing really to deserve that.
But, he's a nothing.
But he's got the 24. He's got the sexy paint job, and he's got Chad Knaus, so he's number four.
Just thinking about
it. Another Hendrick guy at three, Alex Bowman.
Like that's a little high for Bowman, but at least I would put Bowman on the list.
Yeah, for sure. You wouldn't even put Byron in your top 10.
I don't think so.
You put him down there with like Hemric or Tift or whoever else is not on this list. David Reagan.
I honestly would put Hemric in, and maybe Hemric in, and over at least over Byron. Like I see nothing with him.
Yeah.
Like I see nothing at all. No offense to the Byron fans, if there are any. I mean,
apparently there's a good amount to put him.
Like who's a fan of him? Like I'm an Austin Dillon fan, and I'm like that doesn't make sense. So that's saying a lot.
All right. So Bowman was three. Number two, Kyle Larson.
Yeah,
that one makes sense to me.
Yep.
Number one, though, this is the one that maybe won't be a surprise. I'm a little surprised he's number one. I'm not surprised he's in the top five, but number one, and I'm surprised by this, Matt DiBenedetto.
He should not be a top five. Get out of here with that.
But he's.
I'll give him 10.
He's not. I'm not saying he's the best. He definitely doesn't.
Right.
He's probably eighth or ninth on
that
list.
I get that, but even still, how?
Yeah.
What?
He's built up this cult following. It's part of why he's in the 95, I think. Yeah. It's because he had a little bit of a cult fan base from his years at a Go
That's
Fast.
Why I would have thought he would have been in the top 10, but yeah. I didn't know they were that dedicated.
Like, Ross Chastain's there in the top 10.
He has a bigger fan base than Kyle Larson, is what you're saying.
Apparently,
essentially, yes. That's what that means. If you're a Kyle Larson fan, how would you have not already voted for him?
Yeah, Kyle, this is basically the call to action to all Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace fans. Your guy should be ahead of Matt DiBenedetto, so take offense to this and go vote for Kyle Larson.
I would.
In all fairness, I'm a Kyle Larson fan. I haven't even voted yet, so I will make sure I do that.
Ooh, come on, man. I would have added in there. Man, this is. Never mind. That's going to sound way too biased.
Uh oh. What?
I was going to say, I would have replaced, or at least put Hemric in there.
Yes.
Possibly. And only because of some of the other names that are in there, mm-hmm. and I was surprised by those. I would have thought maybe even, like, Corey LaJoy would have, like, snuck into the top 10. Just maybe. Because of, you know, his paint scheme.
The paint scheme did a lot for him, but right. I don't know. You look at the guys. Paul Menard's the one that I'm a little surprised he's in the top 10.
I'm not surprised by that.
I guess it's because he drives for the Wood Brothers, but, like, what is... He's not a bad driver necessarily. He's just kind of there.
Well, he has like a name. Like he's been in it so long that people know him.
That's actually true.
So that's the only reason I'm not surprised. And like he's had what like two wins in his career.
I think he's got one.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's got all the leftover Kenseth fans because mm-hmm. he's the only other guy from Wisconsin.
That's true.
So there you go. Maybe that's what it
he's
is.
He's got a little bit. That one doesn't surprise me. But one that I want to see in there is Ty Dillon.
Yeah, honestly, he's won two stages.
Thank you.
Where is Ty Dillon on the fan vote? Oh, my goodness.
On a small little team, the only driver, he's won two stages.
I'm furious right now. I forgot about this. Why is he not?
Thank you.
Maybe he's already qualified for the All-Star race because of those two stage wins. I don't know.
Dude, Ty Dillon.
You're right. Wow. Yeah. He's even got the name, Dillon.
Yep.
No. Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, he's got the Geico car, 13. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Ty Dillon last year was actually pretty high up, I believe. I think he was even in, like, the top five of the voting last year.
Then I'm surprised. What happened to the Dillon fans? Man,
well, that's what I'm saying. This year, he's actually, like, done well.
Yeah,
I feel like last year was kind of like a meme. It was like a joke. It's like, let's get Ty Dillon in there. Yeah. That guy never does anything.
Now he's actually maybe almost deserves it.
Right.
And it's like showing up for him.
The dude has won two stages. Like, how many other drivers have actually won stages this season?
I think Harvick has only, like... I mean, Truex just won his first stage this last week. I know he's got two wins, but he only has, like, one stage
win. Ty Dillon has two. And it's like he only races for stages now.
Yeah.
It's like he's like, okay, I got a stage win this race. All right, let's go back to 24th, where I'm supposed to finish. I got the stage win. I'm going to get into the playoffs.
Let's just keep the car clean now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might point his way into the playoffs.
He's
just
like
think about this.
20th or 21st in points.
If
right
he
now.
Just keeps getting like these random stage wins, he could possibly do it.
He could.
Especially with how like little other drivers are actually winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's only a couple drivers winning every week. I mean, that would be hysterical.
I'd be all for it, though. Jimmy's not even in the top 16 right now. Ty Dillon makes the playoffs, and Jimmy Johnson misses.
I mean, what world? I said earlier, this is a new NASCAR. That would be a new NASCAR.
That's a new NASCAR I'm afraid of right there.
Oh, my God. And well, I'll ask you, I kind of like Ty Dillon. I don't know.
Oh, I like Ty Dillon. I have nothing wrong against
Ty
Dillon.
I don't know why, like, Kamikaze, for instance, like, hates him with a passion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's always those people that, you know, he's, because he's, you know, he sort of still drives for his grandfather. It's the same reason I guess people don't like Austin Dillon. They feel like they didn't earn it
the way Austin thing did. I can understand a lot more than Ty. Like, Ty's been bumped all the way down to an affiliate team. Like,
yeah,
come on, guys, give the guy a break. I mean, he ran in all the series.
He's good with fans, though. I remember the races I've been to. He does a lot of little appearances here and there if you know where to look for it. So he's working hard out there. I want to ask you: Who do you think wins the fan vote? Do you think Matt DiBenedetto holds strong? Do you
There's
think
no Larson, way.
Bowman, one of them catches?
Larson up? Has to win. If Larson doesn't win, I've given up.
Well, like, you know, in the race itself, they do, like, I think two or three people qualify in the race itself. So I'd expect Larson, Bowman, Suarez to run well, you know. But
even still. Wait, did Chase Elliott win the fan vote, or did he qualify?
No, Chase won the fan vote last year, and he didn't qualify, okay. So he needed the fan vote.
Okay, I was just double-checking.
Yeah.
Even still, Larson should get the fan vote.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
and if Matt DiBenedetto gets in because he didn't qualify and he was, like, the next highest, that's fine. But Larson, it's Kyle Larson. I thought he would have had, like, a top 10 fan base in all of NASCAR currently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, me
top
too.
Top 10. I mean, that's pretty reasonable, right? You have Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson. I put Chase Elliott in there now.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to go down the line. Like, Hamlin's got some fans. Truex has his own.
That's true.
Keselowski, Logano. But I
forgot Logano, obviously. It's
I'd
like
still
number
put
three.
Larson in the top 10 in terms of sheer quantity.
I'd put him just outside, like, the top 5, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's another stat that I can never find is merchandise sales.
They do, like... They don't really go into that much detail, but they do sometimes say, like, the most popular die-cast cars they sell each year, but that's not always indicative of,
who's
the most popular driver.
Right, because that's just, like, people being like, that's a cool paint scheme,
exactly.
I want to get that
like,
car.
Like, there's one year where, like, every, like, I think they showed a map of the United States, and the most popular car in every state was the Dale Jr., like, final ride car, and it's like he might be the most popular driver in every state, but it's like, that's also just, like, I have that car, and I'm not even a big junior
right,
fan, you know?
Exactly. That was just, like, a cool paint scheme. It's an iconic car. No, I want to see legit merch sales overall, t-shirts, hats, anything, because that will show me who has the biggest fan base.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't get that information. Yeah. It really bugs me. Obviously, Kyle Busch would be number one far away, and then I would probably...
I think Jimmy would give him a run for his money.
Dude, I think Jimmy would now be below Joey Logano.
I don't know.
Yep, he switched to Ally? However you pronounce that.
I don't know. I just know the race I've been to this year, there's a lot more people with Ally stuff than I expected. I'm like, man, he's only been in his car for like a week. Like, how you guys already got all these hats and shirts and stuff?
Okay, so maybe you're right. Maybe I'm underestimating his fan base. He had a huge one. I don't know. And Joey Logano has become more likable, by the way. So I'll give him that. Especially when it came out for the rain delay. And
oh, yeah, that was a... Smart deal.
As I tweeted, the rain delay people's champ. what we were going to talk about was the stage 2 in Charlotte. Because everybody's talking about this right now. It's a big deal. It's the day after Memorial Day, technically, but it's Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to pit after stage 2. And they're just going to, like, sit in the pit for, a minute or two?
They haven't said how long, but apparently during the Coke 600, stage 2, when it ends, they're going to bring all the cars down pit road. And I think they're going to have, like, a moment of silence, like, around the whole stadium, you know?
Probably, like, a big flag coming down.
Probably a big flag come out. They'll probably have, like, the guys on pit road come out and, like, line up and do a little thing. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to park the cars. Can't imagine it takes more than a few minutes, but they're going to do this little gesture during Memorial Day to honor the veterans and soldiers and everything.
Okay, so you've just explained the whole situation from what we understand. And guess what? People are upset.
A lot.
NASCAR fans are very upset.
There's a very loud. I don't know if it's. I don't think it's a majority, but there's a loud minority of them.
Yeah, at least on Twitter.
This. Yeah.
And this goes back to, you know, the NASCAR fan base is unlike any other because it is insane.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think we both wholeheartedly agree on this issue. So it's not going to be a great topic to discuss. Yeah. I wish we had somebody that like fully supported or hated this thing on the podcast with us to try to rationally tell us why.
I've just seen, you know, some people say, well, Nick Bromberg, very well known on Twitter. He's a NASCAR writer. I think he writes for Yahoo. I don't know who he writes for. He writes for somebody. But he's vocal on Twitter. He's one of the, he's known for being very critical of NASCAR at times. Sometimes fair. Sometimes I would argue very unfair.
Yeah.
And I would say this is one of the unfair times. He tweeted out in response to this announcement, this is unnecessary.
Yeah, he just quote tweeted, this, that's unnecessary, something like that.
And he went, like, and honestly, that was, that didn't bother me too much because he is right, it is unnecessary. They don't have to do that. I don't think it hurts anything, so I don't really understand why anyone would be against it. But it is unnecessary. They already do. They have the names of the of like fallen soldiers on the cars. They already probably gonna do some big thing for the pre-race. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, yeah, they don't need to do this, but it doesn't really hurt anything. A lot of his follow-up responses talking about how it felt like he was just pandering to the NASCAR audience and everything. I'm like, that I don't agree with nearly as much. I feel like when somebody, for somebody to be pandering towards an audience, it needs to be something where there's like some corporate suit who's like, oh, you know what these guys really like?
Well,
it's
not sincere either.
Yeah, it's not sincere. But the problem is, I think with NASCAR, I think the people in charge, the people organizing this whole, you know, little salute thing, really believe in the message and really support the troops and want to showcase that on a grand scale. So I don't think it's pandering when the people in charge of it actually believe in the mission. And I think they know, obviously, the majority of NASCAR fans, very supportive of veterans, of the Army, of everything like that. So,
well, and it's,
I think they know what they're doing. And the fact that people are overly critical of this, I don't know. I guess it's just a slow week. I don't know.
And it's no surprise that NASCAR loves the veterans. They give out free tickets all the time to veterans. If you ever go to a race, it's all veteran stuff. You know, at Talladega, it'll be veterans volunteering to do security.
Yeah.
For the whole race, just so they go to the race for free and stuff like that. Like, the whole NASCAR in general is patriotic veterans. That's their whole thing. And I think using the term, like, pandering sounds like it's just like cheap, but let's say for a moment, for whatever reason, the people in charge of NASCAR don't care about veterans. Hypothetically,
yes, to say hypothetically, that's
which is kind of a stretch to even think, to conceive. Like, they're like, fuck the veterans, I don't care about America, we hate America here,
but we'll do this because all these guys in the stands want it. Yeah,
so even if that's the case, right, let's just say that a vast majority, if not almost all of the people in the stands, do want to, you know, show memorial and appreciation to our veterans. So even if the executives hated America and the veterans, why is this such a bad thing? They're giving the fans like what they think they would want.
They're giving the fans what they want. And it is a good gesture. Military people, there's a reason a lot of military people come to the NASCAR races, because they enjoy this appreciation.
They see that they're appreciated there.
Yeah.
People will walk up and say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
So you could just be wearing a military hat and somebody, many people will thank you for your service. That's just the culture of NASCAR. And I just don't understand. I've seen people say, like, this is just a way for them to, you know, test a halftime show.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand, because there's no proof of that anywhere.
Yeah.
They've done things like this before.
And we don't have halftime in NASCAR.
Yeah, and even if... Here's my thing, too. Like, let's say for some reason they are testing it. Number one, they're well aware that, like, fans are going to react a lot different to this than they would if next season they're like, by the way, we're going to do, like, five-minute halftime shows with a quick concert. Like, fans are going to react different to those things.
Yeah.
They're well aware of that.
You can't just spring that on the fan base without them reacting to it.
Right, exactly. And it's just, like, I don't know. Like, if they start doing this every year, or they do it for specific races, for specific things, I don't have a problem with that. If it's just a couple minutes where you pit for like 2 minutes to celebrate something.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that if they did that a couple times in the season.
My biggest issue with it is, like, if they were, like, going to wheel this out and say, hey, this weekend at Kansas, for example, we're going to do this whole thing, I'd be like, okay,
that's weird.
I don't mind it, but that is unnecessary.
It would be weird.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
Because it doesn't make sense.
In this case, it's Memorial Day weekend. This is NASCAR. They do this type of stuff every year on 4th of July, on Memorial Day, Veterans Day. Like, this is a big deal for NASCAR. And it's not something new. It's not like they just started doing this
right.
year. They've been doing this for decades.
Memorial Day is a huge thing for NASCAR.
And I've seen some people say, this is just corporatism, like trying to pander to their audience or promote themselves by using fake patriotism. I'm like, what gives you? Here's my thing. NASCAR's not going to make any money. NASCAR, Fox, not making any money off this gesture, because some people are like, oh, well, they're just going to show more ads during it. It's going to be the salute to the veterans sponsored by Coca-Cola. It's like, there's no evidence of that. During this thing, they're not going to show a commercial break while it's happening. You know, they already were going to pause for the stage break as is, so to show their extra couple commercials. So they're not there's no way they can possibly use this event to make more money. And I don't understand why there's so many people that are coming out with this cynical, you know, lens. I don't understand.
Maybe people just want to be contrarian, which is a thing on the internet. But even if there was a sponsor for it, as long as it's not taken away from it where they have commercials, if it was presented by Coca-Cola, I don't even have a problem with that. If they just say presented by Coca-Cola, if Coca-Cola is like, fans like this, we'll pay to put our little name at the bottom.
Honestly, even that's true.
I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
As long as it's not like an actual commercial.
Mm-hmm. As long as the veterans aren't wheeled out there like drinking Coca-Cola right. saying like, we love America.
Right.
So holding up a Coke bottle to the sky.
If it's just even presented, I wouldn't care.
That's true.
Like,
and me either.
Coca-Cola saw that fans like this kind of thing, so they're like, we'll pay to present this.
And it's not even that like they see that fans like it. It's, again, I think truly veterans and people in the military do appreciate this type of stuff.
Well, and I think they...
Not all, but most do. Some people probably see it as unnecessary. I'm sure some veterans are like, they don't need to do all that. But I'm sure a lot of them don't mind it or in a lot of ways appreciate it.
Well, and I think more so than a lot of others, maybe not more so, you know, there's the NFL obviously, but when you look at like per capita of a fan base, mm-hmm. I bet NASCAR has the highest military fan base per capita. Not overall.
Quite possibly,
but I
yeah.
bet there's like a 25%, like, you know, maybe, something yeah. crazy where it's just like NASCAR is a shit ton of military, so I just don't understand why this is a problem. And every like military person I've seen online too is like, I'm, you know, a veteran and I appreciate this. Like, why are y'all mad about it? And yeah. I'm like, there you go. That's your answer right there.
Yeah.
The veterans seem to like this gesture. Like, there you go. That's mm-hmm. That was the point, right?
Yeah.
It is the ultimate of NASCAR fans just finding things to complain about. I always make that joke, and this is taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, people say in politics that we live in a clown world. This is like that for NASCAR for me, because I'm like, I don't understand their argument. Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest thing. If you don't like it and you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. Just DM me, and maybe I doubt you'll change my mind on this one. Yeah. Last but not least, we have to talk about the millennial car.
Oh, the millennial car. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Charlotte,
I guess the
second, the next race after the Memorial Day race, or is it before?
That's the All Star race. They do it before, and I think
that's right.
He's running for the All Star race. So yeah.
Yeah.
What was the backstory on this? Kevin Harvick. It's Kevin Harvick. The Busch Beer is running a Millennial paint scheme. I don't know if
he lost a bet last year was it Kyle Busch?
I think it was a bet. I don't think it was just Busch Beer. Just bet the world.
Or Busch. Maybe that's what I just heard.
Anybody was asking for us. I think Busch, it was for the, you know, Kevin Harvick made it to the championship four.
Maybe somebody tweeted at them or something.
Maybe they were egging.
No, because somebody did do that, like, mock, that, like, mock up.
Busch did that mock up.
Oh, that really stupid one at the beginning?
Yes, that's what happened. Before the championship weekend at Homestead last year, Harvick made the championship four.
I remember this. It's all coming back to me now.
If Harvick doesn't win the championship, which he obviously didn't, which...
nice.
He's going to run this paint scheme next year. And I think they said it like the Daytona 500 or something, which obviously they didn't live up to that. But they are doing it.
Yeah, they couldn't have done that.
No, yeah. So of course, Harvick didn't win the championship. Logano did. Yeah, very great. And it's just the gift that keeps on giving, because now we see this. I assume if you haven't seen the paint scheme, I don't know, pull it up in your browser really quick. Just Google it. Kevin Harvick Millennial Carts. It's,
I don't know how you wouldn't have seen
it. It's Millennial Pink. I think that's what the kids are calling it these days.
Oh, really?
It's like an off-pink sort
of. Yeah, that like rosy with
the
pink.
With the green logo, like the green number 4 on the side and on the roof.
So ugly.
Yeah, very ugly, very contrasting colors. And then you get the normal looking, for the most part, Busch Beer logo, but it says Busch, and next to it then says AF. And so, in other words, this millennial car is basically filled to the brim with, I feel like that's younger than a millennial generation sayings in a lot of cases.
I know, right? That's not millennial. Thank you. This is what I was saying. That's like a Gen X thing.
Yeah, it's more like...
That's 100%.
Like, I know you and me, we're pretty close. We're kind of on the border between being millennials.
I'm pretty solid in the millennial, actually. I'm like...
Yeah, you're... Actually, that's true. You're 3 years older than me.
Yeah, and so, older. Because I'm 91 is when I was born.
That's true. Yeah, you're significantly older than me. Goodness.
So, man. I'm like solidly in the... Like, if you want to talk to a millennial... Ask me. I am what the parents talk about when they say millennial.
And I'm definitely 97, so I'm right on that edge. I'm kind of
that's true.
That
edge yeah, that's true.
But yeah, a lot of these sayings, like they have on the side skirt, it says skirt, which is just hilarious.
It says,
what does it say on the side? It says yeet. I know
I'm trying to pull it up.
Door.
Who, James with I Wanna Believe NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
He is, I think, my age or a year younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made a video just going over the whole thing. people check that out by all means. But it was pretty funny. He said similar stuff, too. He's like, what even is this word? Like, is this... And that's what I was thinking. I was like, this isn't really millennial. I think this is... Like, he had to look up what yeet was. I also didn't know.
I don't even really know what it means, to be honest.
He had to look it up.
It's like middle school kids these days saying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like they could have just called it the social media car, or the meme car,
yeah,
or the something. Because it doesn't really, like, I don't know very many millennials that talk or use a lot of the words that are on this thing, but it's filled to the brim with some just fancy kiddo slang.
I mean,
slang.
The turnt left thing.
Oh, yeah.
The best, though, by far, is the congrats you tried.
Yeah, on the
for not winning the championship.
And they have a Busch beer can with the Snapchat dog filter on it. Yeah. Okay, that's funny. That is, I like that a lot.
Dude, the congrats you tried is the funniest
thing.
Yeah, that is awesome. That Kevin Harvick has to drive a car that says you tried. He didn't win the championship.
I'm excited to see the fire suit because we have not seen what fire suit he's going to wear. Now, maybe it'll just be some generic Busch.
It's probably
Busch
to be.
One, but maybe also, it'll be something fancy.
Also on the roof, they just have the fire emojis.
Oh, I didn't
see
that.
Saying, like, it's lit. Like, the roof is on fire.
That's funny.
Something like that.
That is good.
See, you know what? I say the roof is on fire, but that's definitely not the reference because that's actually a millennial reference. And I don't think Gen Z, you know, the song.
Yeah.
So it's probably lit.
I will say, when they initially revealed, I'm sure a lot of people listening have seen the original car that they teased last November, where it was all white and it had a lot more disturbing sayings on it.
Right.
That one scared me. When they showed that, I'm like, that's going to make NASCAR look bad. But now the one that they're actually going with, the one that we're going to see here in a few weeks, ultimately I don't hate it. I don't like it. I'm not going to like...
Oh, it's terrible.
It's not great. I'm so slightly bad. Insulted, but...
But... You know. It looks more like a design. Like,
I feel like, though, if people are gonna see it and be offended by it, they're gonna be more mad at Busch than they are NASCAR.
Well,
the original one, I think, I've made NASCAR look bad. That's something that they thought a NASCAR audience would enjoy.
Well, and I hate Kevin Harvick, so this is just the best. You know, he said shit about millennials in the past.
That's what makes it so ironic.
Because he hates millennials, it seems like.
He's gone after the Dillons. He went after Ross Chastain last year. Like, he goes after a lot of young drivers more often than not. And now he's the one that's driving their car, in a sense. That's...
And no millennial ever has used these lingos. But, it's just... I've seen people are apparently upset about the AF...
I am surprised that
somebody's got to be upset, right?
I'm surprised that made it past the NASCAR censors.
That's the thing about NASCAR. I'm telling you, these days NASCAR is like, fuck it. If you don't get people talking, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I do know they did turn down. Oh, who was it? Oh gosh. I believe it was the Barstool Sports guys. They were going to sponsor a car with Roger Goodell in clown makeup.
And Roger Goodell, Fox does. The NFL.
That's
what Dave said on his thing. He was like, they pretty much said no because they do the NFL and they can't go
hurt
against
that relationship.
I think if they didn't have the Roger Goodell,
that's true. They probably would allow.
That's not even true. That's for a fact. I watched the video with Dave and he said, like, give us another paint scheme. We'll do a funny one. Like, anything else, we can't have Roger Goodell on there.
Yeah,
that was their only stipulation. They were like, please give us something else. And Dave was like, sorry, no. Like, if I'm going to do anything, it's Roger or nothing. And so they didn't do it. But, you know, that one, there's a reason for. I get that one. Also, who it was? Was it Reddick? Who won the Xfinity race?
This last week?
Yeah.
What did Bell won? It was Christopher Bell won this last race.
No.
And then 2 weeks ago, I think it was Custer.
No.
Reddick. No, Talladega was Reddick.
No, but... It was Talladega, Reddick.
Yeah.
He had... His helmet was Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah.
So when he got out and he, like, won, they still had... I was like, damn, good for them. They, like, got one little sponsor in there.
Yeah.
And they had the Corey LaJoy car this year.
They've had some, like... I don't know what the experimental paint.
Yeah, they're going. It's like the meme type thing they're going for. They're trying to get the younger generation. It seems to kind of be working, actually.
I mean, I didn't think the Corey LaJoy diecast looked amazing, but it looked
funny.
It was unique.
It's funny, and I think they understand, like, people our age just kind of want shit that's funny. That's what memes are. You just like want to laugh at how ridiculous something is.
It's marketing in the social media age, and that's the type of stuff that gets trendy, and that's the type of stuff people share. People aren't going to share. I mean, you can make the coolest looking Coca-Cola or Napa car in the world, but it's not going to be shared the way Corey LaJoy's face on an Old Spice car is going to be shared.
Yeah, with his beard and his hair. Yeah. I mean, that's funny. The way Kevin Harvick's is going to be shared. It's the ugliest car ever. You know, out of context, it would probably piss me off because I'm like, that's offensive. That's actually what they think millennials.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's okay for Busch beer, though, because I feel like their audience is like
older. Well, yeah, older and people. I think.
And so I think they'll be like, yeah, those kids are pretty stupid. Good and job, Busch.
With the like context, it's more funny because you're like, oh, the whole thing's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole thing, they're just playing around. Kevin Harvick doesn't like millennials.
Yeah, it feels like they're just, I feel like maybe that's where it originated, was Kevin Harvick and Busch Beer made the bet.
Could be it.
And
yeah.
Like, Busch was like, you know, we sponsor you, Kevin, but you need to start winning championships.
Well, because the hood of it was a tweet. You remember the original one? And I can't remember the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever tweet that was, would probably have sparked the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it was Kevin Harvick tweeting about millennials.
Maybe. It was probably just there. Like, I still feel like Busch kind of pulled this out of nowhere, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't really in response to anything. I think Busch just kind of went was like, you know, we're going to invent our own game that could go horribly wrong for us. And I mean, I will say this, credit to Busch Beer for actually doing basically what they said.
I don't think it's
gone
horribly wrong. I think it's brilliant. This is marketing 101. I mean, they're like, let's get people talking about our car again. Kevin Harvick's not winning. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is how people are going to keep talking about us.
If he wins the All-Star race in that thing, that's going to be something.
That would be like the one race that I would actually laugh if Kevin Harvick won.
I would.
Like, I don't like to see him win, but that one, I'd be like, this is the only race where I'm kind of okay with him winning because at least he had to win in that fucking car. Like, he'll never live that down.
He's going to get all the photos, be in all the newspapers.
Watch him be winning and Busch right behind him, and then just him take like a high lane or something, and then Busch go right. He's just like, I refuse to win in this car.
I don't care if $1 million is on the line. I do not want more people than is necessary seeing me in this car.
He's standing on it for the pictures for the win. Ugh. Can you imagine?
He's like, can we bring the car cover into Victory Lane and just cover this thing while we take the pictures?
And the car cover is like pink and just the same thing.
That's funny.
So that's pretty much it. I may or may not be going to Kansas this weekend.
We'll have to figure that out.
We'll see what happens. Like an idiot, I scheduled everything for Sunday. For Sunday. And then just Eric comes over today and is like, dude, it's a Saturday night race. Because I don't know. I went to this race at Kansas last year, but in the fall, and that's a Sunday race.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I was just kept thinking about my fall experience there as if it was the spring. And so I planned everything for Sunday.
Hopefully you're able to figure it out. You got, like, I don't know when people are probably listening to this. You have, like, a day, I guess, to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's too late to cancel my shit. So I'm going. I had a rental car 2 nights of a hotel. Hopefully that can change.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, move it to 2 different nights at least. I don't know. I need somebody to go with to hold a camera. Oh, my God. I'm so stressed out. I can't. Why did I even bring this back up? Now the podcast is going to end and people are like, Jesus.
What happened to him? Is he okay? Oh, goodness.
So maybe if you follow me on social media, maybe you'll see me posting. I got, you know, it's a cold pass, but it's a media pass. So I'll be down there and maybe, you know, get some pictures with the cars at least, stuff like that. Try to get some interviews. Maybe I'll just, here's an idea. Maybe I'll just like interview like drunk fans or something. That'd be kind of funny.
That might be really fun.
I've been wanting to do a thing
lately where I go around my like campus at college here and like, ask people really easy NASCAR questions and just see what kind of, like, name one active NASCAR driver and just see how many people say Jeff Gordon.
Or, you know what would also be funny is ask them questions that sound complicated but actually make no sense and have nothing to do with NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Or just be like, so what do you think about the validity of the vortex theory?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Dr. Daryl Waltrip has a theory.
Yeah. Like, I have this professor. He's Professor Waltrip.
Yeah.
He's always going on about this vortex theory. I just want to hear your thoughts on it and just see what they say. But now, yeah, that'd be actually funny.
That's not a bad idea.
Drunk NASCAR
fans. Yeah, maybe I'm going to do drunk NASCAR fans.
Well, you weren't at Talladega this spring, were you?
First time in 4 years that I didn't attend. That was another reason. I was trying to talk about it, and I was just kind of butthurt. That I wasn't at Talladega. I was like, I can't talk about this. It's the first time in four years I haven't attended this.
It was a good race, too.
Who's the best one? Who's the best one in at least the 4 years I've been going to?
Oh, goodness.
So I'm going to try to go to the fall Talladega race.
Well, that's the one to find drunk fans, from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, this one's like the party one, But from my buddy that's like from Alabama, he's like, the fall one's like the trashy one.
Oh, goodness.
Because it's the same crowd from Alabama without the, like, tourist kind of thing. You know, the, like, because Talladega sells out the spring race, like, every single year. But if you go to that one, they don't have as many people. So it's just as many Alabama trashy people without the, you know, the Barstool Sports type people. So we'll see. But that's going to do it. Like I said, hopefully I'm going to Kansas. Eric bailed on me, so I'm not. He's not going with me.
I can't.
Everybody's listening. He had a chance to bring you content from Kansas.
I really wanted to go. Unfortunately, just it didn't work out this weekend.
Anyway, Eric, thanks for coming on again. And
yeah, good being on.
This month, I'm going to be doing a podcast with you, right?
That's right. Actually, on your channel. We should be going to shout that out next week, next Wednesday. Well, not next week. It's, I guess if you guys are listening, it'll be on May 15th. So in just a few days. Matt, you will be on our weekly NASCAR podcast. It'll be on my YouTube channel, Eric Eastip on YouTube. Search up and subscribe, ring that bell so you don't miss. We'll be live Wednesday, May 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I guess you'll be honest with us the whole time, right? Full 2 hours?
Yeah, definitely. All right. I don't have shit to do.
All right, perfect. Well, yeah, you'll get to chat with the four of us. We're usually pretty nice. I don't think we have anyone mean coming on that show either, so we should be all good.
I kind of want somebody mean.
All right, well, we'll see.
I need some, like, challenge.
I'll ask him, hey, do we have any other mean guests we can bring on to go against, to counter Matt's presence?
Yeah, exactly. Show? Just to try to argue with me, because then I'll just be like a drunk, angry redneck fan.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
I can't wait to have you on. That'll be really fun. So, yeah, everyone go subscribe and make sure you don't miss that show. It'll be I've been on your show a few times now. It'll be exciting.
You. Yeah. Is this like four times?
Yeah, something like that. It'll be exciting to have you on our show. So.
All right. We're all excited.
Yeah, the dog's sneezing over here. I don't know if y'all can hear that.
All right. So hopefully next time I'm talking into this mic, I will have been to Kansas. If not, you lost a shit ton of money. Thanks for coming on again, Eric.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. And we'll see you later.
Peace. It was a straight shot. Love to not get caught. I laid three dimes down and the machine won 25 cents. Playing Russian roulette?
Oh, did you win?
You're not really familiar with the game, are you?
No.
Yeah, I won.